Forms. Radio Yisrova. Radio Yisrofil. Radio Yisrova. Radio Yisrova.
This is the Start Prop Property Show. Tune into Start Prop Property Show every Wednesdays from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. on Radio Yisrova.
Yeah. Molweni makhaya. Singu Radio Yisrova. Sifumaneka kuzo zonke social media platforms.
Welcome to the Start Prop Property Show every Wednesday between 12 and 1 right here on Radio Yisrova. Ons stasie, ons talent en ons mense. Welkom mense. Vandag gesels ons weer oor properties, behuising, finansiering, verbande, rentekoerse en dis meer. So we welcome everybody to the Property Show. I'm Ivan Nietling. I'm the principal of Start Prop Real Estate. And in studio with me today, I've got Grant Furin. Hi, Grant. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you very much, Ivan.
Yes, as you remember from the last time, Grant is one of our agents in our East River office in East River, right opposite Pick n Pay, there in the Rose Center, shop number 5. And of course, you're more than welcome to pop into our offices and come and chat to us about real estate, about properties, about subsidies, first-time houses, etc., etc. So, Grant, are you ready for the listeners today?
Yeah, I'm ready for the listeners.
Lovely, lovely. So, Grant is going to share with us some exciting ideas about the real estate and about property and his experiences with real estate as an agent of Start Prop. So today we're going to chat a little bit about, you know, just when you are preparing your property for sale. And then, you know, normally what will happen is you will advertise the property, or rather you will see if you can, you know, market your property. You want to sell your property and now you're looking for an estate agent to come around and give you some advice, and valuations of your property and so on. And Grant, can you talk us through that process a little bit about, you know, how you prepare yourself for the valuation of the property, once you've, you know, somebody's called you and said they're interested in selling, and then, you know, how do you go about that process?
We go about that process. So we look at the property. Usually we get first, before we go to the property, we get a CMA report.
Which is, what is a CMA report?
So it's competitive marketing analysis. So yes, this is what the property's value is, how much it can go for in today's market.
Okay.
And that just shows you like an overlink of like how much, like this area, the area around, how much the properties went for.
Okay, so it compares the property to other properties in that area.
Yeah. And then after that, we'll have a look at the property and see what is it worth, and what does the seller want, of course.
Okay.
And then we can negotiate.
Okay, so you actually look at the property, look at the attributes, what the property has to offer, and then also understand what the expectations of the seller are, and then try and meet those expectations. So I think sometimes the seller has expectations which are maybe not in line with what the market price is. And so that's why I suppose that document is so important, that comparative market analysis is important.
It's very important.
When you're taking the client through and showing them other properties that are currently on the market and for sale, and what prices that they are going for, and what those properties have to offer.
Yes, definitely. So some you can't in East River sell a house of 2 million, you know. So then we will see on the property marketing analysis, we'll see on that, you know, like how much is the property. Like, we must try to negotiate between these type of prices. We can only stay in this line.
Okay.
So then, yeah.
So that must be difficult, because, you know, some clients have an expectation that, you know, their property is worth quite a bit of money. They've put a lot of money into that property. And obviously, they may be perhaps overcapitalized on that property. Then is that what you would say?
They may be overcapitalized, but then, you know, if the seller wants that amount, you will get that amount. But, you know, you have to, it depends on the market. But,
okay. You know. So the market is favorable and you've got a buyer that's willing to pay that price.
Yes,
then
definitely.
Then you can achieve that price. Okay, so we're talking a little bit to Grant, one of our agents in the East River office today. This is the Start Prop Property Show. Every Wednesday we speak property on the show. And today we're talking about people that are wanting to sell their properties. And Grant is saying that, you know, when he gets a call and someone says, come and do a valuation of my property, he does his best to try and meet the expectations of the seller, especially if they've put a lot into that property. But again, as Grant is saying, that you're limited by what that area can do and what the market is prepared to pay and what potential buyers are prepared to pay. So I think that's a big warning to sellers, then, not to overcapitalize on their properties. And, you know, once you're pricing your property out of the area, it's going to be very difficult to achieve that selling price.
Yeah, that is, you know, you have to, like, you can negotiate though, but then, you know, it will, like, if the price is too high, then you won't sell your house immediately, you know. But if your price is just right, you may get some calls in to say, here's an offer.
So it all depends about how you're pricing your property,
in
terms of the timing that it's going to take to sell that property. Okay, so obviously if you're overpricing the property, then you'll get no calls on the property. Because the people are looking at the property and saying, wow, this property is way overpriced.
Yeah.
And then no one's going to be calling you to make appointments to come and view that property.
Yeah.
So that's an unfortunate thing. Okay, Grant, so if you, let's say we have a buyer, we have a seller now, that's quite realistic with their prices. They understand what the market is, and you've taken them through the comparative market analysis. You've explained to them what other properties are selling for in the area, and depending, you know, what their property has to offer, what other properties are offering. What is the next step then, in terms of, you know, moving towards a mandate? What is the next step then that you would take them, through the process?
Through the process, I'll explain, like, actually advertising your property. You know, you want your property to be out there. You want your property to sell quick. You don't want something that maybe, you know, looks, that gives maybe purchasers a look at, a second look, you know?
Yes.
You want to have them that first look and say, yes, I want this property. Unless you have maybe a wall that is not painted and you would like, and I'll advise you to paint the wall to make it look appearing, you know? To let purchasers say that, yes, I'll take this property because, you know, they don't want to have like that feeling to say that, well, I really don't like this, I really don't like the ceiling, maybe there's a hole in the wall that can quickly be fixed up.
Yes.
You know, so all of those things is the small things that can have a huge advantage when it comes to selling a property.
Okay, so you're saying to the sellers, potential sellers out there, that before you bring your property to the market, maybe what you need to do, you just walk around the property and observe the property and look at things that can be done, that light touch-ups work that can be done. And particularly, as you said now, things that's falling on the eye, things that you can notice that's obvious to the eye. Because I suppose once they see the one thing, they're going to see all the other things.
Yeah, then they're going to notice all the other things, which is not good, you know. You want your property to sell.
So you're saying to the seller, then prepare yourself before you bring your property to the market. And get your property into a state that is ready to be sold or ready to be marketed. Because then I suppose you're giving your property the best chance to be sold.
Yeah, and especially for immediately, you know, you would not want to stay there for, you know, while the property is being sold, while the mandate expired. It's not a nice thing, you know. Then you have other agency coming to you, is this mandate expiring? You know, you want your property to sell and
get the best value for your property.
Yeah, get the best value, yes, of course.
Okay, talking about mandates, I hear you talking about mandates. Can you just take the clients through, you know, they put thinking about considering selling their property and they presented with a whole host of options regarding mandates. Mm-hmm. And I know people are fearful about mandates. You know, they've probably just heard the wrong stuff. So maybe you can just take us through that whole, what the mandates are and what, you know, how you negotiate your mandates with the seller so that they can just understand that process.
Okay. So what we call is, we will first start with the open mandate. So an open mandate is where you allow probably five agencies, let's take example, five agencies to market your property, or multiple agencies to market your property. And then your property will just be advertising on probably 24 and there will be like a whole list. It kind of looks messy. Let's put it that way. It kind of looks messy because you wouldn't want all of those agencies marketing your property because it's like a lot of agencies and everything. But then when it comes to a sole and exclusive mandate, and then it's only allowing one agency to sell their property.
So if I can talk again about that open mandate, you're saying there that there's a number of agencies that are marketing your property.
Yes.
But a lot of people think that, you know, if they do an open mandate and they give, let's say, as you said now, five or so companies to market your property, aren't you giving your property more exposure by having different companies market your property and they all got their own buyers? Aren't you giving your house a better chance to sell because you got a whole number of of agents selling your property?
Yeah, but I would say yes. But then if you're doing the sole and exclusive mandate, you're giving one agency the chance to market their property. So if it's an open mandate, no one will basically, half of the agencies wouldn't even bother to really like put in work in their property because anybody could sell it, you know. But if you're giving a sole and exclusive mandate, you're allowing one agency to sell it. That means you're giving that agent the go ahead to say that, yes, I want you to work on my property, I want you to get this done, that done. You know, you just have that one-on-one where you have to talk to multiple agencies, you know. If you wanna maybe an example, you as the seller, you maybe have multiple agencies and then two wants to view tomorrow and then you can't do it, you have to allow that one. So it's kind of hectic, you know, but allowing a sole and exclusive mandate, it's the best for me. You know, it gives me more time and, you know, it gives the seller only a one-on-one speech. Like he can only talk to me, you know. He doesn't want multiple people coming at his house. You know?
Okay. So you're saying, yes, when you have a number of agencies marketing your property, the property is getting a lot of exposure, but you just got so many different people running around over your property and, you know, coming in with buyers, and this one is looking at it and that one's looking at it. The difference is that when you're giving someone a sole mandate, sole and exclusive mandate, you know, you got a better commitment from that person. Obviously, they tied into that property. They want to make work of selling that property. And then I heard that, well, you know, what you're saying is that the level of commitment is different.
Yes,
because you, if you are under working out with an open mandate, you've got different agencies competing, and you know the agent is working, and then he finds out, no, you know, he was lining up all his buyers, someone else sold the property. So how much effort is he really going to, how much commitment is he really going to be putting into marketing that property when anyone can sell it? Whereas, as you were saying now, that, you know, if it was a sole and exclusive mandate, that agent is then fully committed to marketing your property, because his work, his business is about just selling your house and getting your house sold. When you're working under that sole and exclusive mandate, you know, you tied into the property, the seller's tied in, and your commitment is now, your primary commitment is getting that house sold. You're not, you know, competing with other agents to get the house. You're just focusing, let me get this house sold, let me get the best price for this client, because the client has taken me into their trust. And they've given me an exclusive right to market that property.
Yes.
Under those instances, we know when it's difficult to sell that house, or difficult when you have other agencies, would they, when they're approaching you and say, hey, Grant, I see that you've got this house listed, you've got a sole mandate. Can we share, can we bring our buyers as well? Can we also list on the property? Can we bring our buyers to see that? Do you guys work with other agents to give the house the best chance to sell, and maybe for you to then share the mandate? Not share the mandate, but allow other agents to then bring their buyers while you're managing that process.
Yes, I do. We do split commission 50-50. We do all of that, especially like whatever offer comes in, we definitely approach it to the seller as well. So yes, we do work with other agencies as well.
So despite the fact that then that you have a sole mandate on the property, you are also working with other agents to assist you in selling the house and getting the best price for that house, and then you will do a commission split with that agent and you'll take care of that for them. But at least the seller then has the confidence that, you know, he's getting the full commitment from you to sell that property, as well as the fact that you're then going out and is looking for further markets and perhaps other buyers who, you know, don't belong to you, but may belong to another agency, but that they can then come and participate in that opportunity to get the, you know, to get the house sold at the quickest time and at the best price, obviously.
Yeah, the best price, yes.
So you would suggest that sellers consider the sole mandate route for what primary reasons? And we can just go through that again. What are the main reasons why you would then, you know, talk to the client and say, look here, I think it's best that better that we go around the sole option because, you know, because of the following reasons.
Following reasons, because, you know, sole and exclusive mandate, you would like me to market the property. You would like me to do all the work that needs to be done to the property. Unless if you have an open mandate, anybody could sell it, which is good. But like as you just mentioned, you wouldn't like want, you know, anybody just coming in. You don't even know where is this guy, what agency is he from. He's just coming in with this guy, and you know. But a sole mandate is where you have to speak with me personally. Whatever offers come in, I will obviously like hand it over to you. If you don't agree with it, we just move on to the next offer. Yes. Yeah, it is better for me. It is better, you know. You wouldn't be talking to a lot of people on the phone about agencies and everything. So you would just have one guy, you know, market your property, which is a very good thing, because I'll be your go-to guy.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fantastic. So I think the important thing then is that if you do offer an agent a sole and exclusive mandate, you must have the right agent and you must have the confidence in that this person is really going to make work of my property, and that their commitment will be in marketing that property, and that I've chosen the best guy, you know, out of the team. And the thing is, I know that at StartProp, we also have a multi-listing system within the company where, you know, we've got a number of agents that working in one office. So even though you gave the agent the sole and exclusive mandate, his colleagues have already got access to bringing their clients to the property. So you've also got that added advantage within the StartProp community. That although we're giving a sole and exclusive mandate to one agent, there are a number of agents in the office that will automatically also just, you know, participate in bringing buyers through you, you know, to the client.
Yeah, definitely. Like we will share, you know, because it's start from. You know what I'm saying? Start from. So obviously, once you bring a mandate in, it splits with the whole company. Like either your colleagues can sell it. So that's how we work as well.
So then you already have a number of people working on the property.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have one person interacting with the seller and taking responsibility for that. Akhnadar, I think that is fantastic. Guys, we're talking to the Start Prop Property Show every Wednesday between 12 and 1. Right here on Radio Easter of Year, and we bring you information, advice regarding real estate, regarding properties and bonds and the interest rate, and also about first time subsidies, people that are coming into the market to buy houses for the first time and wanting to know, can they qualify for a subsidy? And today we're talking to one of our agents in the Easter of office. This is Grant Perrin, and Grant has been basically in training at our offices, so I threw him in the deep end today. But it looks like he's got the thing by the, he's got the ATF and Jan, if you're precious, what they would do. So this about, securing the mandate, giving the client the commitment, but then being able to offer the property the best exposure by, bringing on as many other colleagues who have clients that can come through, but managing the process on behalf of the client. We're going to take a quick musical break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about property on the Property Show.
Are you a business owner, farmer, employer, or manager? CISA helps you with all your labor law and legal compliance needs. Let us take care of your UIF, OHS, BEE, Poppy Compliance and Labor Law, so that you can focus on running your business with peace of mind. Visit us at cisa.co.za. That's SEESA.co.za. Since 1998, CISA, your business sorted.
Before I leave, girl, through my window, the autumn leaves are red and gold. I see your lips, your summer kisses, your sun. I'm not going to be able to do that.
Yes, the Start Prop Property Show every Wednesday between 12 and 1 right here on Radio Easter 4 on Stasi, on Talent and on Mensa. In studio vandaag, Ivan Yetlang, the principal of Start Prop Real Estate. And also I've got with me Grant Perrin from our Easter River office talking to us about real estate and about property and about listing your property and selling your properties. Thank you, Grant, for joining us again in Thank studio. You, it's absolutely wonderful to have you with us today and sharing all your ideas with the listeners and also giving them some good tips on what they need to do before they bring their properties to the market. Grant, one of the questions I just want to ask you is that, you know, if you are wanting to sell an apartment in a complex, you were telling me that there's quite a few apartments that are being sold now in the complexes here in Easter River.
Yeah.
So there's quite a few things that you need to have. It's not like selling a house. Selling an apartment is somewhat different. There's a series of documents that you need. Can you maybe just take us through and take the listeners through what is required when you are selling an apartment? And then also, of course, you know, what must the buyer be aware of? What does the buyer have to look for when they're buying an apartment? Because they're thinking, oh, we're just buying an apartment in a complex, but there's a lot of other stuff that is involved with buying that apartment. So can you maybe just take us through, you know, some of the documents that how the sale of an apartment is different to the sale of a house?
So in an apartment, it's obviously like a body corporate.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's like basically like there's no title deed on it, but there's a sectional title.
Oh, so there's a sectional title as opposed to a freehold title of a house.
Yeah. Okay. Basically, yeah. So and basically like all the requirements that we need is probably like the financial status of the property, like what does have to be done.
Regarding the financial results of the... The first thing you're going to do is you want to look at the financial statements of the body corporate.
Yeah.
So what are the financial statements? Where do you get the financial statements from the body corporate?
By the owners of the property.
Okay, so the owner of the seller of the complex must give you that. Yeah. Okay, so they have that financial statements drawn up.
Yes.
And you can see whether the body corporate is solvent and whether they are paying their bills and they're paying their rates in that.
Yeah, they will need it because of the purchaser that would like to purchase the house. And obviously the agent that is marketing the house, they would ask for it as well. Because they have to see like for if they have a client that would like to, you know, that would like to purchase one of these rooms in the apartments, they will obviously like ask like what is this financial, how is the financial, you know,
position of the body property.
Is everything paid up, you know, am I running into a bankruptcy, you know? So it's all about that.
Okay, so the first thing that we when we're buying an apartment is to ask for the financials of the body corporate. and just to look at the whether they solvent, whether they paid their bills. Okay, what are some of the other things that then that you must ask for regarding the what's his name, the sectional title?
Probably the rules. Okay. And I'm at the minutes that was spent in the meetings of okay, the owners.
So look, talking about the rules then of the body corporate. So what would you find in the rules of the body corporate?
You'll find all that, like basic things like there's no pets allowed, you know, you're not allowed to make this type of, like you're not allowed to play music, you know, like
after
loud
11
music.
O'clock.
Yeah, after
that,
11
yes,
o'clock.
Yes, 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 yes.
Basically like...
okay, so it'll be all the rules that people have to live by. Very, I suppose because you're living with a whole number of people in a complex, you need rules to abide by. You can't have everybody doing their own thing.
Yeah.
So again, you would find that you ask the owner for the copy of the body corporate rules.
Yes, yes.
And then see how it would... how it would impact on you as the purchaser.
Yeah.
So I like that idea because the thing is, you know, the you said something about pets, that there's no pets allowed in the property.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Obviously, you know, that is it could vary from one body corporate to the next, because some would allow pets and some don't allow pets. And then you know, you may be a person that want to, as a purchaser, bring your dog with you, because your dog is part of the family. So you want the dog, and then they say, so you must find that out actually before you then.
Yeah, before. You must like obviously like sit down with your client and discuss like all the rules, all the financial statements, and you know. This,
okay,
this
so you have to advise him of all of that
before you even visit the property, so if they can be like they can see like. Are they interested in this thing?
Yes, and
course,
can they live with those rules?
Yeah, can they live with those rules? Okay. So it's very important.
And then you spoke about the minutes as well. What are the minutes?
The minutes are basically like when the owners get into a group of meetings, they maybe have it every 6 months, and then they will discuss like what
issues that are happening.
Yeah, what is needed at the property, what can we do to, you know.
Okay, issues that are coming up and things like that.
Different things can we need?
Yes.
Do we need parking? Do we need more parking? Parking, you know.
Yes,
so it's
yes,
just ba-
yes,
basic
yes.
things, but you know, yeah, it's just basic things.
So the important thing is then to get a copy of the minutes, because you can then see what are the discussions that are going on at the complex. If there's security issues, that will all be raised in the minutes of the meeting.
Yeah.
So you want to see the past minutes of the meeting. So I think this is very important then for purchasers to understand that, yes, when you're buying an apartment, it's not simply you know, taking ownership of the apartment, but it comes with a whole lot of other stuff, like the financials of the body corporate.
Yeah.
Is the body corporate, you know, are they sound? Are they financially paying their bills? You spoke about the rules. Can you live with the rules? Can you abide by the rules about, you know, where you can and where you can't park? And also, you know, a lot of other stuff that you spoke about. For example, are pets allowed in the complex? And, you know, and there's no noise allowed after whatever time and so on. So I think these are important things that the purchaser must consider. And then you're also mentioning things like rules, not the rules, the minutes of the meeting, where you can see what is the day-to-day stuff that's happening in the complex.
Yeah, yeah.
And what is obviously, you know, what was brought up and so on. Okay, what other stuff is something that is important that one must consider then?
So basically the levy statement. It's a levy statement that is involved, you know.
Okay, so if you're asking the seller then, how much is the levies every month, and so you'll get that from the levy statement, what the levies are that are payable from the complex.
Yeah, we will get all of those stuff, and obviously we have to present that to the bank as well, and you know, to the bond that maybe you can take an appointment with a bond as well, and you know, the bank would like to see all this, even the financial statements.
Information.
Well. Yeah, information.
Okay. So your levy statement is going to give you a breakdown of your levies every month. And obviously, you know, what they're spending as part of their levy for the maintenance of the building and the upkeep and all of that. So, the levy statement, again, you say also one can ask the seller to provide you with a levy statement.
Levy statement.
And show the owners. So besides paying your bond, you're going to be paying the bond which for the for
the
property.
The bond.
You're going to be paying the rates every month.
Yeah,
and then you're also paying the levies every month.
Yes, that's it.
Okay. And then some complexes also have a homeowners association.
Where
you pay another additional levy. So you pay the normal levy, and then you also pay a homeowners association contribution.
Yeah.
So mainly, normally the homeowners contribution is towards for, you know, the upkeep of the verges and the grass areas, and they sometimes have walkways and pathways and so on.
Yeah.
And so they maintain the homeowners association would maintain the gardens and that.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's quite a bit that you must look at, yeah. And I think it's important that, you know, if I'm going to be considering purchasing a property, particularly an apartment, a flat in a building, that I understand that, is there anything, the layout of the unit, you know, what you're purchasing, what you're actually getting, where would you get that information from?
By the sectional plan. So there's a sectional plan that's basically part of, you know, you do have the planning and everything, but there's a sectional plan for you, you know.
Okay, so that would identify your unit within the complex.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then show you what you're actually buying.
Yeah, and to show you, like, what, you know, what is yours. You know, the inner walls is belongs to you.
Maybe yes, yes.
The balcony doesn't belong to you.
Yes.
It's commonly, you know, it's around the body.
Yes, corporate. Body corporate, yeah.
So, yeah, all of those stuff, you know, it will be in the sectional plan.
Okay, so the sectional plan will indicate what your unit is.
Yeah.
And it, perhaps, you know, if you bought the garage with, then the garage is also going to be marked as with a section,
yeah.
With a section number. So you can see, okay, the seller's buying this and buying that. Yeah, because I remember there was a situation where we once sold a property and the purchaser assumed that, you know, the parking, they were buying unit number 18 and they just assumed that the parking by 18 was theirs. But it wasn't actually, it was actually just an exclusive use area and that was owned by the body corporate. And what they did is they allocated the parking bay on a first come, first serve basis. So that parking bay went to the last tenant that bought. So they used the parking bay and went out. Purchaser said, hey, but where's my parking bay? Someone else is parking there. So they said, no, but the parking bay wasn't part of the purchase. Yeah. So I think this is very important.
Yeah, this is
very
important.
And you say you'll get all this information from a section plan.
Yes.
So I think it's important then, you know, that that the purchaser asks the agent, look, you know, where is the section plan? Let me see what I'm buying and what's all the demarcations, because they can say to you, well, there's 10 apartments and there's 10 parking bays and each one is yours. But sometimes they've allocated 2 parking bays for visitors' bays and there's only 8 bays available for the for the tenants. So that becomes a serious problem.
Because for the owner as well, you wouldn't be wanting issues at the end of the day when it comes to parking. Anything.
Yes.
So you have to advise, you know, the agent have to advise all this to the purchaser as well. So it's very important that we know all these things. You know?
I think it's important that you then have the right agent advising you
and
definitely. Giving you all the right information. So just to recap there again, so what you were saying that if you're buying an apartment, you know, there's certain documents that you need to call for from the owner, the rules of the body corporate, what rules are there that are in place, what you can do, what you can't do, what you're not allowed to do, what you're not permitted to do. And then you also have, as we had now, the sectional plans, which will demarcate your section on the plan and also show you if you own the parking bays and any exclusive use areas, you know, like the balconies or if you have a private garden and things like that. So all that will be on the section.
All that will be on the section plan.
That is fantastic. And then also, as we spoke about, then the financial statements of the body corporate to see that, you know, they've paid their levies, they've paid their rates, there's no outstanding payments. Because you don't want to buy a unit and then you find out that this people haven't been paying their bills and they're actually insolvent, you know. And they're busy losing the units, and now that's why this person is selling.
Yeah.
But I think that's why, you know, the agent has got an important role to play.
To advise the purchaser.
Yes, so the financials are important to make that available up front to the purchaser then. And then also to read the minutes, as you were mentioning, so that you can just see what is the politics that's happening.
Yeah, what is the politics?
Is
the
ownership. There, is there issues? Because they will discuss things like fraud.
Yeah.
Not fraud, but the crime and stats that's happening. Crime
also, also, like, you can't use your apartment. That'll be one of the rules. You can't use your apartment as an Airbnb. That'll be also in one of the rules.
If they create a rule like that. Yeah. So, okay, so in apartments where you can use B&Bs, and that's not the rule, but where they're restricting you to you for using your property as a B&B, because you may be thinking this is a nice apartment, I can rent this out as a B&B, and then you find out in the rules they actually made specific provision that this apartment can't be used for a B&B, and then you've now bought something and you can't use it for that purpose. Okay, this is very important information, I think. And then also, as you were said, lastly, the levy statement is important.
Look
at the levy statement and see how the levy statement is made up. And if there's any special levies that have been raised, if you can maybe just share with the listeners around the special levy, you know, how that special levy is working.
So special levy is like, basically, like you own this side of the property and that side of the property. So basically like just the simple stuff, you know.
Yeah, okay, so all right, and then other thing also with the special levy is that if there's some expenses that you're not covered obviously in the budget of that you're not it's not covered in the levy. Yeah. So you know, if they decided that they maybe wanted to put up that electric fence they needed to raise additional capital and things like you know, then they're gonna obviously use the special levy. So I think it's important that the purchaser understands what is he buying and that he has access to all the information and that he can also see, okay, this is the breakdown, here's the financials, here's the levy statement, you know,
also to see what is he paying for, you know.
Exactly, yes.
Because we spoke about like what is this with a like one side, maybe one side there's apartment, but one side is have a balcony and the other side doesn't have a balcony.
So this basically says
that the side of the balcony is more expensive, but the balcony doesn't belong to you.
But you're
paying exactly the same price that you will be paying if you look at just maybe like a normal...
So there's more value to obviously added. Yeah. So they've got some certain rights that you don't have as a levy holder. Okay, I think that's important also. Then to ask, okay, fine, what is coming with my unit? Are there exclusive use areas? Do I have access to... you know, private spaces, exclusive use areas and things like that, as opposed to just, you know, paying my levy and then, you know, sharing in the common areas and so on. So I think these are, it's a lot of technical information that we're sharing with the listeners today. But I think it's important that, you know, as a seller, I need to know that if I'm selling my apartment, I must have all this information ready for the purchaser. And obviously, the agent will get this information on behalf of the purchaser, and then take the purchaser through all that information so that they can quite understand the process that they're going through,
and what they are actually buying,
what they're actually getting. Yeah. And I think there's a lot that goes with this, guys. This is the Start Prop Property Show every Wednesday between 12 and 1. We discuss real estate on this property show. We talk about today. We're talking about apartments and investments. We're talking about levies and body corporates and all the things that we need, that you as a purchaser need to be aware of. You know, before just thinking, I'm buying this apartment. It looks nice. It looks, the block looks decent and safe. There's a lot of stuff that goes with it, as Grant was sharing with us. So when we come back, we're going to chat a little bit more. So we'll take a quick musical break on the Start Prop Property Show.
Do you want to take your business to the next level? Advertise with Radio East River by emailing us at admin@radioeastriver.co.za.
We'll be right back. protect yourself, protect your loved ones, test for TB.
Yes, the Start Property Show, every Wednesday between 12 and 1, right here on the radio, Easter Appear, on Stasi, on Talent, and on Mensa, on Selswa, Lekker Badag. We're talking about real estate, we're talking about property investment, we're talking to buyers, we're talking to sellers, about what you need to do when you're bringing your property to the market, whether it's a house, whether it's an apartment, and we looked at some of all the issues that we're dealing with. When you're involved with sectional title, when you're selling a sectional title apartment in an apartment block, or you're selling, you know, in a gated estate, there's so many different rules that one has to talk to. There's different acts that are involved. You know, you have the Sectional Title Act, you have the Sectional Title Management, the Group Schemes Management Act, you have the CSOS Act. So there's so many legal issues that one has to consider when you're dealing with just the sale of an apartment as opposed to selling a normal house. Some of the documents that Grant has taken us through is that he's saying before you come into the property, before you purchase the property, you should ask the agent to get the necessary paperwork together. So ask for the section plan, ask for the sectional plan, where you can see here's the plan of all the properties that are set out, all the units that are there in the complex, and I can see, oh, here's my unit. And there's a section number, there's the garage that I'm buying, and that also has a section number. So these are the important things that you want to be sure of when you're buying an apartment. The other thing that you want to look at is the rules of the body corporate. Get a copy of the rules that Grant was saying to us. There's certain nays and certain yays that you can do, certain things that you're not allowed to do. Grant was saying to us about the noise factor, that you know you may not be able to play loud noise after 11 o'clock. And you also mentioned to us about animals. Sometimes animals are allowed and not allowed. And then there's also some rules, Grant, that you mentioned now about B&Bs that they sometimes say, look here, you're not allowed to operate a B&B in this complex because they don't want strangers coming in and out of the property. You know, B&Bs are short lets. People come in for a weekend or for overnight. And then you find all these strangers walking around and you've got no control over it.
Yeah.
So look to the rules of the body corporate, because the rules are going to say to you, yes, I'm just buying this apartment and maybe there's other 18 apartments in the block, but there's a whole lot of rules that are going with it.
Yeah.
And you'll have these fuddy duddies that will phone the chairman all the time and say, why is this car parking here? And why is this person here all the time? Who's this people here? And you know, when you come in and lure us to the fence, take Vicom in all the time. So there are issues that you know that one has to consider. And you want a professional person with you. You want an estate agent that knows this stuff. You know, and Grant can lead you through this stuff and take you through all the documentation. The other things we spoke about was the financials of the body corporate, to see that the body corporate was solvent, that they were paying their bills. The members are paying their levies and the rates are up to date, because there's nothing worse than buying a apartment and then you find it, oh my word, this block is in so much debt, the people haven't paid their bonds. And of course, Grant, the bank will not give you a bond if the financials are not good, if they're not positive.
Yeah.
The bank is not going to give you a bond. So you need this financial statement anyway. When you're making application for a bond.
Yes, you basically need everything, that's the sectional title, the sectional plan.
Yes, yes.
Like just apply qualifying for a bond for a house, but this is different though, but you need all that thing whatever the bank requires.
Okay, so the bank is also going to look at the section number and see that you do own the garage, that you own the unit that you're saying that you're purchasing. And then we also spoke about the minutes of the meeting to get the last 6 months minutes and see what was discussed at the minutes. You know, what was the crime stats there? People are the busy burgling, you know, jumping over the walls, or there's some nuisance factors. These people are smoking. I don't want to say Taha on the show, but people are smoking there. Yeah, they're smoking on the premises. And so it's a headache for everybody else. Yeah. And you can't say, nah, don't smoke, because the law said that you can. And now they're smoking next to you and that smell is coming into your unit. So these are things that you need to be aware of when you're buying into a unit. Yeah. It's not just, you know, sometimes youngsters think, ah, it's easy for me just to buy this unit. And, you know, it's a nice investment property, et cetera, et cetera. And then the other thing is also that you spoke about was the levy statement, to look at what am I paying for, what's on the levy statement, what must I take care of, and you know, what is all covered in the levy? You know, what are they covering? What am I paying? And I think that's an important one, Grant. That so that you must know that as a when I'm buying an apartment, there's different costs. I'm going to be paying my bond. I'm going to be paying my levy. I'm going to be paying my rates. And I could also be making a contribution to the homeowners association.
Yes.
You know, that's cutting the lawns and keeping the place tidy and that. Yeah. So there's a lot of other costs that you need to be aware of as a purchaser for a unit. I don't know if there's anything else that you want to add from your experience of just, you know, working with the sectional title and apartments and that.
Yeah. Basically, it's just probably like the rules. People doesn't follow the rules. Maybe like, you know, when you're parking at someone else's spot, you know, someone left it, you know, but then it belongs to the whole thing, you know. But it might have some type of thing, but it's good that an agent takes charge, you know. That's where the agent takes charge. Like, you wouldn't want the landlord's number. You want the agent to, to look after the place, make sure that everything is, like, sorted and everything. Make sure the people are paying their levies and everything on time as well. Because, you know, you wouldn't want to step.
To manage a block where there's chaos happening. I think, guys, listeners, you've got it now, that when you're considering buying an apartment, you thought that it's going to be better than buying a house because there's no maintenance. Well, you're finding out that there's a whole lot of other stuff that I also need to be aware of as a purchaser. And the good advice is what Grant is saying to us now today is have an agent by your side. Let him explain these things to you. Let you understand, okay, you have to make a financial contribution to all these things. And you know that there are certain things that impact on you. You're going to be living in a shared space. You're sharing that space with other people. Grant is saying that let's not fight about the parking bay. Let's be clear about who's parking where. And also that if you have visitors, that they can't just come and park in your bay. You know, I think I've seen it already, Grant, when the neighbor come knock on your door and say, hey, can you so move your car, man? And, you know, he's going to do it 3 times and then he's going to get very upset with you because then he's going to be tired of coming to you and saying, look here, your people are visiting you and they're parking in my parking bay.
Yeah.
And that's just going to create a whole issue. Okay, so guys, I think we need to understand, you know, a little bit more about property, a little bit more about apartments and sectional title. And also that, you know, if there are disputes within the sectional title, if there are disputes between landlords and tenants and between tenants and landlords, you know, among themselves and so on, that there is an organization that you can go to, which is the CSOS organization. CSOS, basically, they're the arbitrators for sectional title. They have offices in each province. So they're in the Western Cape. You lodge a complaint with them, lodge a query with them, and then they deal with specific issues pertaining to sectional title and apartments. They deal with all the queries. They deal with legal issues and tenant fights and levy disputes and so on. So CSOS is a legal organization that you can go to when you have a problem with a sectional title, and they will then sit and adjudicate over the matter. I don't know how many people write letters to CSOS complaining about you know, the landlord and the tenant and the body corporate is not listening to me. But at least you have right of recourse. There you have options that you can go to and to, you know, deal with all these issues. So, Grant, thank you very much for sharing with your ideas with us today, sharing your thoughts. And I think, you know, bringing some personal touches to the whole aspect of selling property. If you want to reach Grant, he's at our East River office, shop number 5, Rose Center in East River. And he's more than willing to listen to your issues and also to sit down with you, maybe to go through the documentation. Maybe explain the information to you. And if you're thinking of selling a sectional title apartment, come and talk to Grant. He's got the list of all the stuff that you need, and to at least, you know, prepare the purchaser, because nobody wants to buy something and then find themselves that they actually bought into a bad block or into a bad unit. So all that information is important to deal with it professionally and, you know, to deal with it correctly, and so that all the parties are informed all the time.
Yeah. Everyone. Yeah.
So anything else that you want to add to that, Grant?
No, I'm good.
You're happy? Okay, so guys, here you can hear it from Grant. He's at our Oyster River office. Come and pop in with him. Come and talk to him about anything relating to property and real estate. Again, our office is shop number 5, Rose Center in Oyster River Pier, right opposite the Pick and Pay Center. And remember that on a Tuesday and a Thursday, we've got a free legal clinic. So if you have any information that you want regarding estates and property, you need to make an appointment, but we'll have a free consultation with an attorney at our offices on a Tuesday and a Thursday. Then also on a Saturday morning, you can have a free legal consultation at our Strand office in Gordons Bay Road. We have office there. Again, you need to make an appointment, but you'll have an attorney come and talk to you. Anything pertaining to estates, obviously, and then to the transfer, sale of property, anything relating to your experience that you maybe need legal advice on. But for now, we're going to be signing off the Start Prop Property Show. It's Ivan Yetlang, the principal of Start Prop Real Estate. And we'll be with you next week, Wednesday, again between 12 and 1 on the Easter River Radio Easter Fear.
This is the Start Prop Property Show. Tune into Start Prop Property Show every Wednesdays from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. on Radio Easter River.
Oh, 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 Hey, Mr. Brown, feeling down? Listen to the leading